Chapter 4. Planning for Short-Range Air Defense Operations. A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. General George S. Patton. Planning is the art and science of understanding a situation, envisioning a desired future, and laying out effective ways of bringing that future about. ADP 5.0. Planning helps commanders create and communicate a common vision with their staffs, subordinate commanders, and unified action partners. This chapter describes the SHORAD operation planning processes. Though the depth and scope of planning varies by echelon, all SHORAD planning is baselined on the Military Decision-Making Process, MDMP, IPB process, criticality, vulnerability, and threat methodology, and troop leading procedures, TLP. Introduction. Planning is a balance between the science of the staff planner and the art of the commander. All planning is based on imperfect knowledge and assumptions about the future. Planning cannot predict exactly what the effect of the operations will be, how enemies will behave, or how civilians will respond to the friendly force or the enemy. Nonetheless, the understanding and learning that occur during the planning process have great value. Planning activities occupy a continuum ranging from conceptual to detailed. The conceptual end will focus on understanding the operational environment and the problem, determining the desired end state, establishing objectives, and sequencing the operation in broad terms. On the other end, detailed planning translates the broad operational approach into a complete and practical plan. It works out the scheduling, coordination, synchronizing, and directing the force. Fundamental to the development of SHORAD plans are three Army integrating processes, MDMP, IPB, and TLP. These processes are augmented by the AMD criticality, vulnerability, and threat methodology. Descriptions of the MDMP, IPB, TLP, and criticality, vulnerability, and threat methodology follow. Specific application of each to SHORAD planning is presented in the SHORAD battalion and battery planning sections. The MDMP is an iterative planning methodology used at battalion level and above to understand the situation and mission, develop a course of action, COA, and produce an operation plan or order. The MDMP combines the conceptual and detailed aspects of planning and integrates the activities of the commander, staff, subordinate headquarters, and other partners throughout the planning process. The MDMP helps leaders apply thoroughness, clarity, sound judgment, logic, and professional knowledge to understand situations, develop options to solve problems, and reach decisions. See FM 6.0 for more information. The IPB is a collaborative staff effort led by intelligence personnel to develop and sustain an understanding of the enemy, terrain, weather, and civil considerations. IPB begins in planning and continues throughout the operations process. IPB products are developed and continuously updated to facilitate situational understanding and assist commanders and staffs in identifying relevant aspects within the AO and area of interest that can affect mission accomplishment. See ATP 3-01.16 for information on AMD IPB techniques. TLP is a dynamic process used by company-level and smaller unit leaders to plan and prepare for operations. TLP extend the battalion and higher-level MDMP to the small unit level and enable small unit leaders, such as SHORAD section and team chiefs, to maximize available planning time. SHORAD unit TLP are also considered in the development of a supported unit's MDMP. See ADP 5.0 for more information. The criticality, vulnerability, and threat methodology is a tool used to assist in the allocation of ADA forces to mission requirements. It begins with an understanding of the supported commander's air defense protection priorities, determined in accordance with the unit's scheme of maneuver, projected threats, and terrain where the operation will take place. Protection priorities may include units, such as the main effort BCT or division artillery, a semi-fixed asset, such as a forward arm and refuel point, or events, such as a river crossing or passage of lines. The importance of each asset is analyzed with respect to its criticality to the mission, vulnerability, and likelihood of being surveilled or attacked. These high-value assets are incorporated into a protection prioritization list, normally identified by phase of operation. Air and missile defense planning. The basis for all AMD planning is the Area Air Defense Plan. The Area Air Defense Plan is the theater-level plan that delineates AMD guidance and directs efforts in support of the Joint Force Commander's Operation Plan. The Area Air Defense Commander develops the Area Air Defense Plan, supported by representatives from the Army Air and Missile Defense Command and other service commands. The Joint Force Commander approves the plan. From the Area Air Defense Plan and the Airspace Control Plan, defense designers will extract identification criteria, specific instruction for implementation of the rules of engagement, airspace coordinating measures, air defense warnings, and self-defense criteria, and, as applicable, coordinate the integration of multinational AMD elements. Army AMD planning is conducted at all echelons, from the Army Air and Missile Defense Command to ADA batteries and platoons. At each level of command, planning begins with the receipt of a mission from higher headquarters and culminates in the issuance of an operation plan or order. Planning for SHORAD operations must key on developing an air defense scheme of maneuver that defeats air threats before they can accomplish their missions. Because enemy air operations are often part of an integrated air attack plan, air defense planning at all levels must support the higher echelon plan. Simultaneously, the planning of SHORAD operations must be fully integrated with the supported forces plan to enable the maneuver forces' freedom of action. Without this integration, the air defense effort is not unified, the chances of fratricide increase, and mission success decreases. Command and support relationships. Command and support relationships provide the basis for unity of effort and are essential to successful mission accomplishment. Command relationships define superior and subordinate relationships between unit commanders and identify the degree of control of the gaining commander. Command responsibility and authority varies depending on the type of command relationships between units. Army support relationships define specific arrangements and responsibilities between supporting and supported units. Establishing clear command and support relationships are fundamental to organization of any operation. Command relationships. There are five types of command relationships: organic, assign, attach, operational control, and tactical control. For additional discussion of these relationships, see ADP 5.0. Organic are those assigned to and forming an essential part of a military organization as listed in its table of organization for the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps, and are assigned to the operating forces for the Navy, JP-1. Organic SHORAD forces, for instance, have command relationships with all other organic forces organized with its headquarters. Assign is to place units or personnel in an organization where such placement is relatively permanent and/or where such organization controls and administers the units or personnel for the primary function or greater portion of the functions of the unit or personnel. JP-3.0. Assigned SHORAD forces have command relationships with the gaining unit, are assigned positions by that unit's commander, and have priorities established by that commander or by a subordinate commander if so delegated. Attach is the placement of units or personnel in an organization where such placement is relatively temporary. JP-3.0. Attached SHORAD forces have command relationships with the gaining ADA unit and are assigned positions and have priorities established by that unit's commander. Attached units are subject to limitations specified in the attachment order. The attachment order should clearly state the administrative and support responsibility of the gaining unit to the attached unit. When a SHORAD unit is attached, the supported force provides administrative and logistical support to it. Operational control is the authority to perform those functions of command over subordinate forces involving organizing and employing commands and forces, assigning tasks, designating objectives, and giving authoritative direction necessary to accomplish the mission. JP-1. A commander is provided another unit to accomplish specific missions or tasks that are usually limited by function, time, or location. When operational control is the appropriate command relationship, it should only be maintained for brief periods of time. Also, it should never be assigned when the parent unit has the capability to exercise effective control. Operational control does not of itself include administrative or logistical control. Control of administrative or logistical support must be specified in the order for operational control. Command relationships, positions, and priorities are established by the gaining ADA unit. Tactical control is the authority over forces that is limited to the detailed direction and control of movements or maneuvers within the operational area necessary to accomplish missions or tasks assigned, JP1. The gaining ADA unit establishes command relationships, positions, and priorities. Support relationships. The four support relationships are direct support, general support, reinforcing, and general support reinforcing. Support relationships alone may not be sufficient to ensure properly resourced and maintained units. Prior coordination between commanders and supported unit staffs is necessary to ensure subordinate units can operate independently of the parent unit when necessary. Direct support. A SHORAD unit with a direct support mission provides dedicated air defense for a specific element of the force which has none. The SHORAD unit provides close and continuous support and coordinates its movement and positioning with the supported unit. General support. A SHORAD unit with a general support mission provides air defense for the force as a whole. It is not committed to any specific element of the force. This relationship is commonly used to protect corps and division-level assets. Reinforcing. A SHORAD unit with a reinforcing mission augments the coverage of another ADA unit or strengthens the defense of the force. Reinforcing SHORAD units are positioned to protect one or more of the reinforced unit's priorities as specified by supported ADA unit commanders. General support reinforcing. A SHORAD unit with a general support reinforcing mission provides support for the force as a whole and augments the coverage of another ADA unit. The supporting units must coordinate with the augmented ADA units to reinforce the coverage of assets in the AO. Short-range air defense battalion planning. The SHORAD battalion commander and staff use the MDMP process to develop the air defense plan. The plan is developed in parallel with the battalion's next higher headquarters. In the following discussions, the next higher headquarters is a division. During garrison operations, prior to receipt of mission, the SHORAD Battalion Intelligence Staff Officer, S2, must develop a comprehensive database of known threat aircraft and missile systems to include UASs and train all S2 section personnel on how the enemy normally fights with those systems. The Division Assistant Chief of Staff, Intelligence G2, may not have personnel with expertise on the enemy air threat and may rely on the SHORAD Battalion S2 to provide that expertise during mission planning. MDMP Step 1, Receipt of Mission. SHORAD Battalion planning begins with the receipt of a mission from the division. The SHORAD Battalion commander receives the division commander's guidance and develops supporting guidance to lead the staff's planning effort. The SHORAD Battalion commander is directly responsible to the division commander for the division's air defense plan and integrates air defense planning with the division staff through the AMD section throughout the MDMP. Additionally, if there is a core ADA brigade unit, such as a Patriot Battery, placed in support of the division, the SHORAD Battalion Commander addresses that unit in the division plan and scheme of maneuver. The SHORAD Battalion Commander depends on the AMD section in the division for accurate and timely information during this stage of planning. If the situation permits, the Battalion Commander may move to the planning cell at the division main operations center to best influence the planning cycle during the deliberate decision-making process. If the hasty decision-making process is being used, the battalion commander relies on the division AMD section to keep informed. At this stage, commanders provide guidance to their staffs based upon their visualization of the operation. Planning guidance conveys the essence of the commander's visualization, including a description of the operational approach. Effective planning guidance reflects how the commander sees the operation unfolding. The commander's planning guidance broadly describes when, where, and how the commander intends to employ combat power to accomplish the mission within the higher commander's intent. Broad and general guidance gives the staff and subordinate leaders maximum latitude. It lets staffs develop flexible and effective options. Commanders modify planning guidance based on staff and subordinate unit inputs and changing conditions during different stages of planning and throughout the operations process. Based on the commander's initial planning guidance, the staff can issue an initial warning order, WARNORD, to the SHORAD batteries, which includes, at a minimum, the type of operation, the general location of the operation, the initial timeline, and any movement or reconnaissance to initiate. Each planning staff is different, and habitual associations between the ADA battalion and batteries and their supported formations are critical to successful planning and execution of the missions. MDMP Step 2, Mission Analysis. During this step, the staff analyzes all aspects of the mission and the higher headquarters plan. The battalion commander focuses on the mission and the specific roles of the battalion. The commander and staff review the division's protection prioritization list and analyze which assets can be defended with the available SHORAD units. The resulting linkage of SHORAD forces to designated assets constitutes the protected asset list. The end products are the unit's restated mission, commander's initial guidance, mission analysis brief, intelligence estimate, and WARNORD. Upon receipt of a WARNORD or mission, the SHORAD Battalion S2 conducts an IPB, which includes air avenues of approach. The Battalion S2 provides the SHORAD Battalion's air IPB for inclusion in the G2's comprehensive IPB products. To predict how the enemy will use aerial platforms, the S2 must develop refined IPB products. This process consists of four steps. Define the battlefield environment. Describe the battlefield effects, evaluate the threat, and determine potential threat COAs. The S2 leads the staff in the development of the battalion's IPB, which directly supports the decision-making process. Every commander and staff member needs to understand and apply IPB during the planning process. In an immature theater, detailed threat information may not be available. Consequently, a doctrinal template and decision support template must be produced in the absence of real-time data. Regardless of the maturity of the AO, IPB goals are the same. The S2 must help the commander and the staff visualize the battlefield in time and space. Working with the Battalion Operations Staff Officer, S3, and other staff members, the S2 must identify enemy fixed and rotary wing air avenues of approach into the division's AO, as well as developing air-named area of interest, NAI, for detecting enemy aircraft/missiles inbound to targets in the division AO. When a change of mission is received and situation permitting, the S2 should accompany the battalion commander to the division main, for instance, to assist in the deliberate decision-making process. The S2's presence at that location makes IPB refinements immediate and also allows the S2 to work directly with the G2 to ensure receipt of the most current information. See Appendix C for more information on the Air IPB. The S3 uses the criticality, vulnerability, and threat methodology to determine the allocation of SHORAD units to the division's critical assets. After reviewing all assets on the protection prioritization list, the S3 considers and ranks the importance of each based upon how critical they are to the commander's mission, how vulnerable they are to damage and repairability, and how likely they are to be targeted by air and missile threats. The Battalion Logistics Staff Officer, S4, plans for fuel and ammunition resupply, maintenance, and medical care for all units. The S4 coordinates with the Division G4, known as Assistant Chief of Staff, Logistics, and Logistics Support Units, such as the Brigade Support Battalions of the BCTs, which the SHORAD batteries are supporting, for common sustainment needs such as food, fuel, and equipment maintenance. The S4 will also plan for the deployment of battalion maintenance contact teams to support the specific SHORAD equipment needs of the deployed batteries. The commander develops the commander's intent for the mission and planning process and issues guidance to the staff on potential COAs for the staff to develop. The commander's intent contains the overall mission purpose, acceptable risk, resulting end state, prevailing AMD tenets, and any additional information that will serve to guide the staff. Immediately after the commander gives the planning guidance, the staff can send subordinate units a warnort that contains, at a minimum, the approved mission statement, the commander's intent, changes to task organization, unit AO sketch or overlay, commander's critical information requirements, risk guidance, specific priorities, and an updated operational timeline. MDMP Step 3, COA Development. As a prelude to COA development, the commander briefs the division commander and staff on the proposed air defense protected assets to support the division's mission and division commander's intent. Upon acceptance, or with directed changes, the SHORAD commander begins to size, task organize, and allocate SHORAD forces to the designated assets. Based on the mission, IPB results, and the commander's intent and guidance, the staff will begin developing courses of action. Each COA must meet the following screening criteria. Feasible. The COA allows mission accomplishment within the established time, space, and resource limitations. Acceptable. The COA balances cost and risk with the advantage gained. Suitable. The COA can accomplish the mission in accordance with the commander's intent and planning guidance. Distinguishable. Each COA must differ significantly from the others. Complete. The COA must describe all subordinate operations that lead to mission accomplishment. MDMP Step 4, COA Analysis. COA analysis enables commanders and staffs to identify difficulties or coordination problems, as well as probable consequences of planned actions for each COA being considered. During this step, the staff wargames the developed COAs. The wargaming process should begin with all staff members having a thorough understanding of the S2's updated IPB. The S2 uses NAIs from the Division G2's IPB to follow major enemy maneuver actions. The S2 then integrates the aerial terrain analysis with this ground IPB. The S2 identifies key points where the enemy will attempt to penetrate and/or exploit, and where aircraft may likely be used to best support the enemy's objective. The S2 will then display the analysis using a decision support template, which is a drawing showing the G2's condensed situation template with a terrain analysis and the appropriate ground and air avenues of approach, NAIs, target areas of interest, and decision points. The decision support template must show activities in time and space through the entire AO. The SHORAD battalion staff then analyzes the battalion's response to the S2's anticipated enemy courses of action, focusing on developing a synchronized air defense response to the enemy's main air attack and ensuring the battalion has an integrated response from early warning to engagement for each COA. Contingency operations COAs must consider the reaction of the civilian population, refugee control, and collateral damage. The SHORAD battalion staff needs supported maneuver force graphics to pinpoint maneuver units which have the best potential to be in the vicinity of the enemy's main effort. Next, the staff discusses each contingency. The staff conducts a session to visualize the upcoming battle based on potential enemy actions, develops decision points, and identifies them on the decision support template. Anything can happen in an operation, and the potential decision points are thus limitless. However, the staff must assess friendly capabilities versus enemy intentions to determine what COAs the enemy will most likely adopt and identify these as decision points. The decision support matrix is the principal planning tool which allows the staff to visualize the battlefield, courses of action, and develop a synchronized response to varied enemy actions. The decision support matrix captures the ADA and the maneuver commander's intents. Listeners are encouraged to refer to Chapter 4 of the print version of this publication for an example of a battalion decision support matrix. MDMP Step 5, COA Comparison. COA comparison is an objective process to evaluate all COAs independent of each other and against set evaluation criteria approved by the commander. The staff compares the strengths and weaknesses of each to identify the one that offers the best possibilities to accomplish the mission. The staff identifies its preferred COA. The staff then delivers a decision briefing to the commander, including the following: commander's intent of hire and next hire commanders, status of the force, current IPB, COAs considered, including the assumptions used, a summary of the war game for each COA, the advantages and disadvantages of each COA, and finally, the recommended COA. MDMP Step 6, COA Approval. After the decision briefing, the commander selects the COA to best accomplish the mission. After approving a COA, the commander issues the final planning guidance, a refined commander's intent, and any additional guidance on priorities for defense, prepares orders, and directs and supervises rehearsals. Based on the commander's decision and final planning guidance, the staff issues an additional warnord to the batteries. MDMP Step 7 orders production, dissemination, and transition. Time permitting, the battalion commander and staff meet with the battery commanders to brief them on the commander's concept and the decision support matrix. After this briefing, the battery commanders back brief the battalion commander. The battalion commander allocates sufficient time for the battery commanders to plan and prepare their units. Generally, 1/3 of the time is reserved for battalion planning and 2/3 for battery planning and preparation. If time is constrained, this process may be abbreviated or modified. The Shorad Battalion Commander develops an Air Defense Operations Order for the battalion and an Air Defense Appendix to the Fires and Protection Annexes in conjunction with the AMD section for the Division Operation Order, OP-ORD. The Operations Order serves as a directive to subordinate units to relay the commander's orders. It is intended to coordinate the activities of all organizations participating in the specified mission. The staff prepares, coordinates, authenticates, reviews, publishes, and distributes written operations order and plans. Each section of the staff will contribute to the main body or a specific annex containing information pertinent to its field of expertise. Appendix D describes the formats of ADA orders. Short-range air defense battery planning. Air defense mission accomplishment depends upon battery commanders and platoon leaders carrying out mission-type orders on a constantly changing battlefield. Battery and platoon planning is an interactive process. Shorad battery employment must support the higher ADA plan to defeat the threat. Simultaneously, battery commanders and platoon leaders must integrate their operations into the supported assets operation plans. Without this coordination of effort, the chances of fratricide of friendly air increase, and mission success for both the battery and supported asset decreases. The discussions that follow focus on a Shorad battery placed in direct support of a BCT. The battery may be employed as a separate task-organized unit, as a subordinate element of its parent battalion, or as part of an ADA task force defending maneuvering forces. Maneuver for semi-fixed assets such as assembly areas, refuel or rearm points, bridge crossing, or the more fixed assets such as air bases. Coordination and support requirements will vary accordingly. However, regardless of the type of asset, the battery receives its initial mission from the Shorad battalion or task force and then coordinates with the supported asset for additional information and direction. For instance, the battery commander and executive officer work with the BCT staff and synchronize their supporting air defense plan with the BCT's scheme of maneuver, developing an operations order and decision support matrix for the battery and an air defense appendix to the BCT operations order. The battery commander is responsible for ensuring the battery provides the required protection to the BCT and its subordinate elements. When the platoons are placed in support of maneuver battalions or maneuver battalion task forces, the platoon leaders receive their guidance from the battery commander and support the maneuver formation's planning, developing air defense operations orders and appendices. The battery commander and platoon leaders use TLPs in developing their plans. Shorad battery and platoon planning is part of the supported unit MDMP process and not separated from or independent of it. The battery executive officer is typically the ADA officer participating in a BCT's MDMP process. The ADA platoon leader participates in the maneuver force's MDMP process. Though presented as sequential steps, the execution of the TLP steps presented below may vary depending upon MET-TC. Much of the following discussion is expressed in terms of the battery operating as a task-organized unit, coordinating directly with the supported BCT. If operating as part of its parent battalion or a task force, most of the planning and coordination would be conducted with the battalion or task force. Though platoon leaders are not specified in TLP steps below, they take actions similar to those of the battery commander, coordinating with the battery commander and the supported maneuver formation. TLP Step 1, Receive the Mission. The battery commander meets with the SHORAD battalion commander and S3 to receive the battery mission. The battalion commander briefs the battery commander on the battalion's mission and commander's intent, and the battery's overall mission in support of the designated asset. As the battery is to be employed as a task-organized unit, the battalion commander reviews command and support relationships to ensure an understanding of authorities. A battery employed as a task-organized unit in defense of a BCT is generally placed in direct support. The battery commander meets with the battalion S2 to discuss the air IPB for the battalion's AO and any specific data on air activity around the BCT which the battery will defend. See Appendix C for the air IPB procedures and considerations. The commander needs to know the types of air threats that the battery may face, the capabilities and doctrinal tactics of these threats, projected air bases or launch sites, and potential air avenues of approach. The commander and S2 conduct a general terrain analysis of low-level approaches, those approaches formed by terrain, navigational aids, like rivers and roads, and attack profiles that lead into the target area. Severely restricted or restricted terrain is analyzed in terms of threat aircraft service ceilings. UAS employment is analyzed based on loiter time and surveillance range and flight range and time. After identifying when and where enemy aerial platforms are expected to approach and to be employed, the commander makes predictions on enemy activities by comparing what the enemy can do with what he has and intends to do. By mentally wargaming enemy intentions, the commander refines the NAIs generated by the staff during the initial staff analysis and IPB. NAIs are tools to know when, where, and what to look for. Analysis of activities or events within them confirms or denies predicted enemy intentions on the situation template. The battery may be placed in support of a BCT or a fixed asset, or it may be attached to or reinforce an ADA unit. The battery commander coordinates with the commander of the supported maneuver force or fixed asset to receive the operation plan and critical assets to be defended, generally referred to as a protection prioritization list. A BCT typically has multiple assets requiring protection, such as the maneuver battalions, the brigade command post, the brigade ammunition resupply point, and a bridge crossing site. A fixed site asset will also have multiple subordinate elements within its area that require protection, vice the entire site. On an airfield, these may include the control tower, aircraft hangars, and the base operations center. TLP Step 2, Issue Warning Order. The initial warnord alerts the platoon leaders to the upcoming mission. The warnord addresses, at a minimum, movement time, platoon task organizations, commander's location, and support relationships. The commander ensures that the platoon leaders understand the commander's intent. TLP Step 3. Make a tentative plan. The commander considers the intelligence, operational, logistical, and security requirements in the battery plan. The battery commander identifies key items requiring coordination and acceptance by the supported commander. The commander checks with the battalion S2 for the latest air IPB information. The commander also coordinates with the supported BCTs or assets S2 and S3 personnel to review the latest ground intelligence assessments and obtain any information on air activity. The commander should be cognizant of planned friendly air operations, as well as past, current, or potential enemy air actions. Additionally, when in support of a BCT, the commander should be briefed on the BCT's current and upcoming plans. The battery commander reviews the supported commander's protection prioritization list and drafts a protected asset list. This initial list proposes which assets can be defended by the battery considering the AMD principles and tenets of employment. The battery commander meets with the BCT commander and staff, or those of another supported asset, and briefs them on the proposed list. The battery commander identifies the amount of defense the battery can provide to the defended assets and recommends the sensors to be employed. The platoons are task-organized to meet the levels of protection required for the cited assets. The BCT commander approves the list or requests adjustments. The battery commander will agree to the adjustments or advise the BCT commander of potential risks to the mission if such adjustments were made. At the conclusion of the briefing, the protected asset list is confirmed. Based on the identified NAIs in the BCT's area, the commander identifies target areas of interest, geographic areas where the battery can delay, disrupt, destroy, or influence the enemy activity or course of action. The commander develops a decision support template to determine the most likely courses of enemy action. The decision support matrix is developed by the battery commander to illustrate the scheme of maneuver to counter the enemy's COAs. The battery generally relies on the BCT's Brigade Support Battalion for feeding, Army common supplies and repair parts, maintenance of common Army equipment, and petroleum products. The battery must rely on its parent battalion for air defense-specific maintenance and resupply. Contact teams and push packages may be positioned with the battery to provide on-site support. Contractor technical support may also be provided if available. Resupply of ammunition requires emphasis. The commander coordinates with the Shorad Battalion S4 to identify where potential resupply points will be established and the method of resupply pickup or deliver. The commander must be cognizant of the BCT's security plan and bypass criteria for enemy units to determine how the battery needs to operate with respect to any security consideration. This will require further coordination once the battery arrives on site. The commander must also consider any requirements for force protection support from the asset. For instance, if there is a need for an air defense sensor to be placed outside the secured area of the asset, the sensor and crew may require some protection from enemy ground forces beyond that which the battery is capable of providing. The battery commander briefs the battalion commander on the plan as time and the situation permits. The battalion commander will provide any additional guidance or updates on the battalion's and division's plan. The battery commander briefs the key battery and platoon leaders on the plan. The commander restates the battery's mission, addresses the assets to be defended, presents the plan of defense to include platoon responsibilities and positions, identifies the key battery locations, and provides the movement order, start points and times, routes, and release points. TLP Step 4, Initiate Movement. The battery begins its movement from the port of debarkation, assembly area, or other start point to the BCT's location. The deployment considers route suitability and the terrain to be negotiated. Reconnaissance, selection, and occupation of position, also known as RSOP, procedures, in accordance with the battery's standard operating procedures, are initiated. TLP Step 5, Conduct Reconnaissance. A leader's reconnaissance is conducted to verify the plan. The battery commander and platoon leaders must determine if the tentative map selected locations will allow immediate occupation for accomplishment of the mission. Ground reconnaissance verifies whether the terrain provides good natural concealment, has access roads for primary and alternate routes into the position, provides good observation, fields of fire, and areas of search, and has firm ground that will support the weight of the equipment. Coordination is effected with the supported commanders to ensure that there is no conflict in positioning the battery and platoons, shooters, and sensors. A back brief takes place on terrain that offers visibility to the battery or platoon AO. This sequence will allow the commander and platoon leaders to further adjust the plan as necessary to synchronize platoon fires, identifying dead spaces and defense weaknesses, ground and air. TLP Step 6, Complete the Plan. The battery commander briefs the BCT commander and staff on the air defense plan. The commander ensures that requested support has been identified and acted upon by the BCT. After final approval of the plan by the BCT commander, the battery commander briefs the battalion commander of any adjustments to the initial battery plan. TLP Step 7, Issue Order. The battery commander issues the order to the battery and platoon leaders. The platoon leaders, in turn, brief their subordinate leaders. The plan may be issued in hard copy, digitally, or verbally. If time permits, hard copies or digital versions are transmitted. Verbal transmission may be required when time is limited. TLP Step 8, Supervise and Refine. The battery commander and platoon leaders conduct back briefs with their subordinates immediately after the order has been issued to ensure the mission, intent, and tasks to subordinate units are understood.